Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And, of course, today is no exception. This is going to be an awesome show. In the last show, if you remember, I was interviewing Reverend Goddess Charmaine, and she was talking about how she started working with men, doing sexual healing with men, and then how she, all of a sudden, she finds herself in a new dimension working with women. And I said at the end of the show that my next guest was going to be a man who works with women, who actually initiates women into their ability to work as sexual healers, or sometimes what's called dakinis. And so I'm making good on my word. My guest today is Rahasia. And Rahasia, just to tell you a little bit about him, he raised children while exploring all the meditation, philosophy, breathwork, bodywork, and tantra that he could possibly digest. And he took what's called sannyas with Osho, which means he took an oath to, well, he'll tell us more about it, but he took an oath to be different, to be free is what sannyasin actually means. The only of his many teachers was Osho. He had many other teachers, but Osho was considered a master. And from 2002, Rahasia has been teaching tantra, at first to a few students who realized his capacity to guide their flowing as dakinis. Once in their power and authority, these women urged him to make his understanding and approach more available to others. So welcome to my show, Rahasia.
Oh, thank you, Laurie. What a delight.
I did not say that you lived in South Africa. So I want to say that you live in Cape Town. That's where you do this.
Yes, yeah, that's where I am. Yeah.
And so I have interviewed one student of yours in the past, and that's how I heard about you. Oh, no, two. Two
students. Shakti Malan and Shima.
That's right. Well, she goes by Maya Monica.
Oh, Maya Yonica, of course.
Maya, yes, Yonica, indeed. Sorry. And yeah. Shima, who did the Buddha Laughing film.
Yes.
So they were wonderful guests and very enlightening guests on my show. And so now here I am. I'm interviewing their teacher, which, what an honor for me.
And how great for me to hear.
it is an honor for me. It's an honor for me to interview somebody else's teacher who I thought so much of them, you know. So that reflects on who they chose to study with, don't you think?
Ah, well, thank you for saying so. And that's the way I tell people to find people.
So, excuse me. So my first, before we even get started, I mean, it's one thing that I could say a woman is teaching women their empowerment and to become some kind of sexual healers. But often in our world, women are learning from men. But I think that some people have like an edge about that. I think people say, you know, how blasphemous of you, how outrageous it is for you to think that you could train women. How could you train women to be these sacred bodhisattvas or dakinis, these sacred ones who help in the sexual healing on the planet? How did this dawn on you that you had the capacity to do this? I mean, it couldn't have come, you know, right out of high school or you know.
Probably a whole nother long story is my own journey, as you mentioned, largely through Osho's people and the groups and workshops and things that they still do. That was very much my start. I was very in a relationship with a woman that we had children with and so on. We're divorced now, but I'm glad to say she also teaches tantra. So we had that interest all the way through and pursued it intensively together. My own path, that was its own journey. But there came a time when, for me, certainly the dance of eroticism, the dance of chasing my eros, was over. You know, hard to believe maybe it can end, but it ended. And then these first couple of women, one of them that you interviewed, the Shima, found me, so to speak. I mean, I was hanging around the Osho thing and, you know, oh yeah, Osho and non-monogamy and all that good stuff and so on. And if they wanted to connect with me, okay, you know, I didn't have a resistance. But then they got insistent about it and they realized there was something to learn from. And it's not so much that I taught them or I'm in some way their master. It was more I was just able from where I was to be what you can call it, that useful foil or that support or that energy that they could develop themselves with against, you know, that they could, you know, really explore where this was their meditation.
Mm.
And in time it became apparent that they had their teaching. They don't say anything that I tell them to say, you know.
That's
but they
nice.
Have their teaching and they're here to bring it. And I've seemed to be just, you could say, one of their supports along the way in helping that happen.
It's really so humble in the sense that you're not taking credit for being their teacher. And they're not.
How could I?
You're giving the credit to them that they're their own teachers, and you happen to be, you're like holding up the signpost that says, you know, go a little to the left, pointed arrow this way, you know, like you're helping them discover their own truth.
Yeah, for me, how to say, obviously, I've had now a few years of doing this and a few years of kind of watching myself, and I do get, you know, hints of the old patterns and old archetypes that sort of arise and follow in this school. And my purpose number one has been to really help them get going. And then they give me, they tell me from their overview, which the feminine holds better than the masculine. And usually it actually is a gender thing you can get all sexist about. Same as you can get all sexist about tennis and men. Just the same. And it's true, you know. The best women in the world can't step into the tennis court with the best men. It's a fact.
Mm.
Best men in the world can't step into the zone of women, you know, with the best women in the world. It's a fact. You know, it is thus.
Well, that's part of what we're healing.
Yeah. And then from there comes their direction.
That's, you know, right.
Work with this. Let's do a group. You know, sometimes it's been they want to run a workshop or a group, and so I kind of help them. And sometimes in matters of technique or how, you know, I've had, from being a student for a long, long time, I've got a lot of experience around stuff that I can advise them with on that and so on. But sometimes, and then they fly, and then sometimes they again, you know, find me useful in their work and call me into it, you know. That's how our retreats and workshops and things happen. That's why, you know, if the masculine had his way, there'd be a nice calendar up there with nice ordered events. No, they just happen when, you know, okay, it's time to do a retreat. All right.
Awesome. Well, now I want to speak a little personally because I know when I interviewed Shima, she said that when she first found you, she fell madly in love with you. Like she wanted, she actually readily admitted this on my show that she wanted to possess you.
Oh, what a sin in the modern tantra world. How delicious.
She wanted you to be hers, and you made it clear to her that that wasn't going to happen. How does one go about doing that? I mean, I certainly know from my own perspective, but I want to hear how could you keep yourself distant from such a beautiful, delicious woman?
Well, this is the weird thing, in a sense, is I suppose the little phrase that I like to use around the school is, as I say, I'm the minimal anomaly. I mean, anomaly in that, yes, there's some strange stuff about me. Yes. Minimal in that it's really minimal. It's just enough for what I need to be for them. So for example, with that, I mean, the dance there for Shima, for them all, really was that urge of the falling in love, that urge of that happening. Her urge and the in love quality, I said, you're going to feel it. What, you know, it's not something to resist. It's completely natural. It's completely archetypal and correct in the path. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you feeling that. However, of course, the interplay with it, the dance, you know, a man meeting that because he's got his own agenda of his own eros, the things he's here to explore and find. I don't have that matching side coming at you. Mm. So it's going to be strange for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling is going to arise, and the awareness is going to arise that, yes, I'm receiving you, I'm receiving it, but kind of on behalf of existence. I mean, on the, you know, it's this paradox of it's not personal, and then, of course, how could it possibly be more personal?
Right, it's transpersonal. You know?
But there is a paradox there, and sure, this is partly what got my agreement with their suggestions for me teaching. Is believe me, I'm a good ducker and diver. If I could find a way out of the responsibility of it, I would. But I have to admit, I happen to have that ability, and it's not something I ever had before.
Mm.
You know, it took very particular risings in my life to make that happen, but. That I don't actually have my own eros agenda. In over a dozen years of teaching now, there have been women who've felt insistent enough about the way they want to learn from me that they've moved in with me for periods of time and so on.
I see.
Very much the saying is, you know, you determine your own level of involvement around here. And you know, some of them determine all sorts of levels of involvement. But in those dozen years, I have never had like a girlfriend, a beloved, someone I'm personally holding on to, or someone that I'm getting my needs met with in any kind of sense or context.
So there's something really pure about this in a certain way. Like, you hold space. I'm going to translate it into like my interpretation. You hold space as the sacred masculine, unencumbered, unattached, like really unattached, like just you're holding space as a sacred masculine. The feminine shows up, she does her dance, and she comes out of it with gifts that she accumulates for herself within the space of you, and you're not putting hooks in there.
Yes.
And you're not letting... And you're not letting her put hooks in you.
Yes. One little thing that I came across in the old text. Sorry, I love the old text. It just said, nothing has been added, nothing has been taken away.
Yes.
And I've made it a little bit, I hope it doesn't get fetishized, but I've made it a bit of a thing around the school and sessions work, that even if you don't say it like, you know, ritually at the end of every session, know it for yourself. You've been the way I see me and the way I see those that carry my work around here and so on. They become what I am. They become catalysts, you know. The catalyst doesn't give something to the reaction, to the energies involved. It doesn't take something from them either. And yet, if a catalyst wasn't there, the catalyst makes a difference of energy, really.
Yes.
And then when the catalyst's there, the reaction that's naturally happening, but it just happens way faster. You say, you know, people that are burning in their path and their seeking and their anguish and their self-exploration. Yeah, you know, if you think it's getting rough and heavy and hard and you want it to go really fast, well, just come visit here.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a little short break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about really the culture as being sexually retarded, and what are we doing about it? Like, what are you doing about it in your part of the world? How is it that you and I found each other and we realized, oh, we're doing some similar things? That's what we'll talk about in the next segment. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. This is Laurie Handlers. I'm your host. And I'm very excited today because I have a guest with me named Rahasia. And he really is doing an incredible thing. He's doing an incredible thing in the world of Tantra, actually, in South Africa, which, you know, is on the other side of the world from me. And yet we find each other and we're in alignment. We're doing similar things. And actually, we couldn't wait to talk to each other. So, so join us for the rest of the show. Stay tuned because we're going to talk a little bit about that, how we are aligned and what the work is, what it's producing. So we'll be right back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness show.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Ladi Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Ladi Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Ladi Han CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
You're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers again, your host, and today I'm interviewing Rahasia, who is in South Africa, and he was an Osho sannyasin, or still is an Osho sannyasin. He teaches traditional forms of learning and devotion and modern methods in retreats and workshops. And as we talked about, he encourages women to their fullness and their power, and he helps them discover their path to helping others. He helps them recover from trauma, and then they go out and they help others recover from trauma. So he's building a cadre of people who are able to do this, and mostly they're women. I haven't asked him yet whether he works with any men. So I think it's women, but we'll, you know, the bet could be on. So Rahasia, what is it that you're doing really? Like, you're helping them develop into dakinis, and then you've mentioned something about the world being sexually retarded. So what is it that, what's the work doing in your mind, or in the way you could articulate it?
How to say, the focus of my work, as we talked about in your last segment, has really been this what we'd call help, you know, developing, helping Dakinis get going. The work they then, you know, how to say, their suggestion then is that a wider range of women than just these few stratospheric ones that really seek those zones, you know, that there's a lot more women that can benefit from this kind of work. And in terms of that kind of stuff, and working with even those stratospheric ones, the thing around Tantra is to approach those high meditation forms, to really use your sexuality as your meditation. It really is necessary that your mind be still enough and open enough and accepting enough of what's actually happening for it to be your meditation. Otherwise, it can be basically an assistance to fantasy or, you know, that kind of thing, that it's to do with your eroticism, the things you may think in your brain that produce a heat in your body. That's my definition of eroticism, in that zone of life where the brain's the biggest sexual organ. And that zone of life has a natural flow to it that we just don't match. Our particular, the Western culture, you can say culture that watches American television, is sexually retarded. There's levels and steps of sexual development known very well in the old world that we Westerners have a long struggle with. In terms of me as a tantrika on my path in the old world standards, I took about twice as many years of sex life as would have been expected back then. I can't claim to be an overachiever. But still, that's getting through the sex life in, you know, over 20 and under 30 years. They used to do it in 7 or 8. They used to come to this, that condition that enables me to do what we were talking about in the last segment, to be steady enough to hold women, and not about suppressing or controlling my own eros, my own urge. It has been finished. And unfortunately, that state or quality of it being finished in the world is very rare. I really wish it wasn't so rare, because it makes me uncomfortable to talk about it when it's just not a common phenomenon. You know?
It's not at all. It's not at all.
No.
I can't even...
And around Tantra, I say it's my brag and my shame. My brag, in a sense, is that I have no history of teaching. I never taught anyone anything. I explored with dear wife, but, you know, and other lovers and so on. But I never taught before I was completed in that journey and then really could, and you know. And on the one hand, that's great as a brag, because it means that there's nobody around that got taught from by me while I had that risk of my own eroticism coming into play in the work,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't teach when I still had that running.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also my shame that there were a good many years when I could have been of good use and support to a good many women, and no, I wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a shame to it as well. And, of course, Tantra says you should take both ends of the polarity and thoroughly relish both. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the culture being retarded, yeah, that's where the work that you are doing and, in a way, that you're doing, but also you're a significant figure in a movement, you know, in something larger than you and what you're moving with. And I don't mean ISTA and other groups that you choose to teach with, you know. The work of Tantra, touch work, people looking at their relationships deliberately, consciously, people looking at their sexuality as something natural to relate to, as opposed to something to fear and try and not trigger, as like per Freud or whatever. This wave of understanding that keep coming, you know, from east to west, here come the waves. The wave that you're riding, that I'm riding there, that's affecting people, is really a healing on one scale, a healing of the culture as a whole. Just as people see more things and hear more stuff around being conscious and deliberate as opposed to unconscious and all mysterious around your sexuality and so on. You know how that overcomes the retarded stuff of the whole repression history and Victorian era we have. It heals it. And the Easterners in the old days wouldn't give us credit for this, and this is why they were very reticent about actually teaching any decent tantra to us. But they were wrong. We're not retarded and stuck. We're delayed and given a chance, given a bit of awareness. Man, we can catch up. We move quickly. You know?
Absolutely.
You've moved. I've moved. My students, they move. No.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. And, you know, and thank you also for the acknowledgement. It's a big and courageous stand to take a stand in the world that says this can heal, and we know it's risky to take this on, and it's certainly not legal, and it's certainly not...
Oh, it's not legal for you?
No.
No. Okay, it's legal here.
Oh, really? Maybe I should move.
A few have, you know.
It is not legal. Let me tell you what's not legal, at least in the state that I live in. I mean, okay. In the whole of the United States, it isn't legal to touch anybody pleasurably and get money for that. Okay, that's number one. And okay. Then in some states, like in the state that I live in...
Wait. So everyone that has a massage has to, like, say at the end, oh, thank you, I really didn't enjoy that.
No. Genital touch for pleasure, sorry.
Oh, genital touch.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Thank you for asking me that.
That's a special part of the body.
No, okay. Thank you for asking me that. So if you've ever... Let me tell you something. This is so funny. If I go to a massage place here in Arizona where I live, like they have these places named Massage Envy and Hand and Stone, and these are names of chains where people learn, you know, come out of massage school and then they get a job, and I don't know, maybe they get paid $25 an hour and the place takes most of their money. Anyway, these people, if I go to a place like that to get a massage, they put so many wrappings on me, like they wrap me in sheets. It's called draping. So they drape me so tight that I feel like a Christmas present under a tree, and they don't touch any of the parts that really need touch.
But not just like one sheet, like good old traditional shiatsu, which was just one, just a very skinny sheet over you.
No, they wrap it so that it's under your legs and around your legs so that there's no chance that a hand could even slide near a genital or near an ass or near a breast because they could become legally in jeopardy if they touch any of these things. So... I mean, my dream, I'm just going to put it out there, my dream would be that I would have someone who comes to my house every single day and gives and rubs my butt. You know, like I sit at the computer enough or drive in that car enough or whatever it is that I do, that my butt needs a massage every day. But if I went to one of these established massage places, I could never get my butt rubbed ever.
And look, I have heard from one state. I mean, do you have an equivalent or something as wicked and evil and nasty as the Oregon Board of Massage Therapists? Because
we probably do. I don't know.
Shall I tell you very quickly what I've heard about these fellows?
Yeah.
Okay. So it started out as a voluntary association of all massage therapists. What a good idea. We can all know each other and have a club together.
Right.
Great. But then the state gives them legal force. So you actually govern massage, and the state gives them a legal monopoly. No one's allowed to practice massage in the state unless they're registered with you.
Yes, that we have that in every state.
And then there's a $4,000 fine if you're not registered with them. And in their bunch of techniques, I don't know about the swaddling thing like what you've got. That's insane. But they've definitely got sort of no sexy stuff.
But then they
have a bunch of freelance guys making a living, running around all the massage therapists they can find and trying to talk them into whatever, some kind of extra little touch of some sort. And then busting them, if they just lay hands on them just at all, they can bust them then as not being registered. And if it was sexy stuff, then they have to pay another therapist for like months and months of supervision. Like they can massage someone, but they must pay for the other therapist. The other therapist has to be in the room. A practitioner and person on the table have to be fully clothed.
Yeah.
And like that. And in other words, it's effectively, anyway, wow.
Yes, okay. It's taken
away. I've had the impression in some states that it was a bit illegal-ish. You're telling me that it's actually, that's what I would call touch work is more or less against the law.
This is silly. The only person who can take money for touching your genitals is an OBGYN or a proctologist who doesn't deliver pleasure.
Right.
You know, if they
proctologists making ejaculation happen to relieve the prostate pain. I don't know if they still do that, but
no, they don't.
Cancer, they used to do that.
They're not.
I suppose
doing
that wasn't pleasurable. Yeah.
No, they can't do anything like that. So in the United States, pretty much most states across the board are similar to what you described in Oregon. Although I'm not a massage therapist, so I don't have a license in massage, and I don't know about like all those regulations, but I will say that, you know, I'm a person who consumes massage. You know, I'm a customer, and I would never go to those places. I don't want to be wrapped up like a Christmas present. I want to really be touched. I don't necessarily want to be stimulated on my genitals. I want a really good massage, and that includes my butt. You know, so.
Yeah.
You know, that's like one of the main parts that needs attention. So it's so crazy. Anyway, so where were we? So the other thing is that I am now familiar with is that even in classes where I wouldn't be touching somebody, you know, people have paid me the money, I wouldn't be touching somebody, but two people in my class might touch each other. You know, as consenting adults and students, that isn't particularly legal either.
You know, I think you've just confirmed something I've suspected a long time. It would probably be a bad idea for me to come to America at any point. There have been several suggestions, and I've always resisted it, and it doesn't sound like a good idea. No.
Yeah.
On our retreats and things, people touch each other. My God,
So what we're going to do later on, you and I, not on the show, but later on, you and I, we will formulate some place off the shore of somewhere that United States teachers who are advanced can come and be in an advanced workshop with you.
Can you get to South Africa? We've got religious freedom that you don't have to spend $1 million at the Supreme Court to like claim it.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. All right. No, later. Sorry.
All right.
Yes.
That's okay. So we need to take another short break. And when we come back, we're going to continue along this line. We're going to talk about, you know, I have some ideas about something called an academy, and you seem to be running an academy, what I think anyway, is a real academy. And so we'll talk about that and anything else we feel to throw in. I'm getting a lot from talking with you and from your perspective, and I hope others are too, especially people who are considering this field. You're holding a standard for how it is they have to hold space. And that's what I'm going to say about that. So we will be right back. This is Laurie Handlers. You're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm interviewing Rahasia, and he's giving a perspective that hopefully you can actually tune into. For some of you, you might be too beginning at hearing about this, and so you're not quite sure exactly what we're talking about. But for many people who've been following my show, this is of another order, and so I want you to pay close attention. We'll be right back. Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. And there's so much more. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. These are all topics that can be covered. When?
October 15th to the 22nd, 2016.
Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
Have you heard about the SSSEX training? That's Spiritual Sexual Shamanic Experience. Well, I want to tell you about it because it's coming up February 15th to the 21st in Costa Rica. Here's what it's about. Opening to the path of true love, power, and freedom. Love is your birthright. You don't need to earn it or prove it to yourself. You just need to live it. If you're ready to radically enliven your sexuality and dive deep into the heart of your wild, erotic nature, then join us. Through this beautiful synthesis of neurological rewiring, ancient tantric practice, and shamanism, we will activate the powerful life force that is dwelling in your body. That's in Costa Rica, February 15th to the 21st. Please join me along with Araminta Barber and Frank Mondose. And we have a special guest, Tom Kaipacha, who is an astrologer extraordinaire. For more information, go to butterflyworkshops.com. This is Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and I'm interviewing Rahasia, who is from South Africa, where I just found out that erotic touch is not against the law. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. What, you know, can you distinguish between orgasm and bliss? You know, let's go down to something very a usual, unusual question. People think a lot if they get into Tantra, they're going to have many, 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 many orgasms, and they don't even know about the bliss. So can you tell us about that?
Okay. Keep it to males for now, yeah? So male orgasm generally is all very much confused with ejaculation.
Yes.
And ejaculation does drop the energy. And the usual pattern of it is the poor fellow feels arousal. And this has a whole lot of connotations with inconvenience and stuff that he's supposed to suppress. And, you know, think of a boy in a class at school and having an erection. This can be inconveniences and embarrassments to it, whatever. And basically, at a certain level of arousal, the feelings arising from the parts become a bit uncomfortable for him. And he contracts into it. He pushes butt muscles, clench, things like that, and squeezes an ejaculation out. It's basically, here arises the energy of existence, and at a certain point you refuse it, clamp down on it, and squeeze it out. Around the school we call that a genital sneeze. And that would be the general run of what people would call orgasms. In terms of that, Tantra is much more about the really unhappy ending than the happy ending. Like, you know, tears and stuff and deep feelings and things like that. Things that happen when that energy goes a little bit beyond and it's not squeezed out and pushed out. Mm-hmm. And that kind of level of personal acceptance of your own energy and so on is really the gift in every flavor of touch work out there. I now hear it's illegal. I'm a little horrified. Well, I think it's a whole nother show to debate that, because I know of a court case happening right now that may swing it in your state. But anyway.
That's good. I'm not in Oregon. I'm not in the state of Oregon. I'm in Arizona.
Oh, you're not in Arizona. You're in Oregon.
No, I'm in Arizona.
You're in Arizona. Sorry. No. I know of a case in Arizona.
Okay. Well,
right now.
There are a few cases anyway in Arizona going on right now, which could change everything everywhere.
It could. But that's another story. We'll see what happens. Yeah. It hasn't finished yet. Yeah.
But what you're talking about, what you're mentioning, is that if people got the distinction, especially if men got the distinction between orgasm and ejaculation, and saw they were two different things.
Well, yeah, there's other flavors of orgasm available to them. But in terms of that ejaculatory flavor, and it can be quite orgasmic, let's be fair. It could be more than a gentle sneeze, let's be fair. Okay, it's not always that bad.
Oh, yes, it could be earth-shattering.
No, sure. But the bliss aspect comes when energy is allowed much further without any of that tensioning in and contracting the buttocks and any feeling of squeezing against or pushing against it and completely allowing the arising of it. And the arising of all sensation, and you open to sensation that much and it just gets loud. It gets very loud and loud. Some parts of the brain system want to react to that as basically the same way they'd respond to pain. And actually, at a certain kind of loudness, you can even pass out from, like, overload. And in the acceptance of all the pleasures and pains, in other words, the fullness of what arises from your nervous system, the synthesis of all pleasures and pains is bliss. It doesn't mean more yummies and better yummies and more delicious yummies than every other kind of yummies. It means open so much you take all the pleasures and hurts of the whole of existence, the whole of your experience, with complete openness and complete acceptance. Lovely words, kind of quite a journey to get there.
Yes. And
Worth the work.
I look at it like what you're saying as, you know, when you reach that state, you've taken the journey, you get there, and you could hang out there for a while, but it comes and goes. It's not necessarily like an attainable state that's like a constant. Like, life happens, you know, and so things happen. But what I see is that there are more and more moments of bliss than ever before, certainly in my life, and I've done the work.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm able to sustain it. I'm able to sustain joy, like, on a daily basis, every day, almost every moment, with a few blips. Rather than this terrible, complainy, sucky life with a couple of moments of happiness, you know, when I'm unwrapping a present or something, or drinking some champagne, you know, trying to, like, escape. Mm-hmm. It's a different way of life, and it's a life that doesn't have a whole lot of suffering.
No, because when you're open to a thing, the experience of it very often isn't a suffering. But when you're contracting against a thing, it might be the most delicious thing in the world. If you're contracting against it, it's a torture.
Mm-hmm.
Look how the same sexual touch coming through the body, through the same nervous system, is on the one hand absolutely invasive and traumatic and ugly and horrible, and on the other hand, precisely the same message arriving at precisely the same brain by precisely the same nerves is delicious and wonderful and perhaps even a symbol of love and something that you can build a whole imaginary castle in the mind out of. You know? Same touch. You know?
It's a matter of interpretation, and interpretation is a matter of how expanded one is and how aware one is. I mean, if you're expanded and aware, the interpretation can be anything, awesome, you know, wonderful. And if you're not, and you're contracted and rigid and scared and whatever, interpretation comes from a fearful world and lack of experience and what have you. And so there's an interpretation of threat, fear, the saber-toothed tiger is right there going to eat you up.
Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful. That's so good what you said. It's so good. So we have just a few moments left. Let's talk a little bit about this notion of academy. It looks to me like you're producing a cadre or an academy of...
We've got a collective noun for Dakinis here. We've worked out what it should be. It's an ambush of Dakinis. Yes. I'd say there's four available in the sense that, you know, one can get hold of them and go and have a session with them. And a session with them is not like going to what we call a yogini, what we would call a touch worker. We have those in the school too, But the Dakini's kind of contract with you, if you're stupid enough to walk in her door, is she looks at what's the obstacle to your awareness, top of the list right now, and she will generally sort that out immediately and then start getting onto deeper things. But that's her general approach. Basically, what they do for the others in the school is they hold overview. They hold that quality of guidance, that same quality that you know. That's why, you know, you teach in groups. You're holding that overview for that group, you know, and I'm sure way beyond the timing of the group, just as it works with me, you know. And that's what they do for seekers. And then we've got around Cape Town four, five. It's hard to be precise with numbers because they determine their own level of involvement.
Right.
Some want to be part of the school. Some go, no. People get the idea I'm one of Rahasia's puppies, which is Afrikaans for one of Rahasia's little dolls. I'm not, you know, that label. And, of course, you know how I hold it, but it's not about that. You know about the appearance, too.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have to go where that appearance isn't, so they can then develop more as practitioners.
Yeah.
The touch workers, they're learning, they're only doing it for really one step of their learning, is they're learning the lessons of mastering the masculine. And you know from the position of being a touch practitioner, that's an awesomely strong position to learn mastery of the masculine from. And in this way, there's a few now that I would say there's three at least on the crossover that they're in that shift of power from the one level to the other, from working with a technique to working directly with people's lives as they are from their overview, no restrictions. And I mean no restrictions.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, so I'm like that, what you just described.
Yeah.
I am that. It's just that I don't, there's things I don't do because I do love above the law. So there's things I don't do with it.
No. I mean, one of our Dakinis does no touch work, and I don't think she's particularly available for sessions. I mean, if it was a student of hers from way back, maybe,
yeah.
You know, in terms of guidance. But she guides, and many women, online work, group work, that kind of thing.
Good.
And again, stands off and must stand off at a bit of a distance from me to be really accessible to women. You know?
Yes.
I mean, the women that like me, that's all very well. They're tantricas, you know. They're already lost in a sense. But in terms of, you know, more normal women in the culture would quite rightly be very nervous about coming anywhere near me.
Mm.
But you know, they can go to her knowing that, you know, okay, I was part of her learning and she mentions it on her site. But, you know,
yeah.
She also says, you know, don't worry, not that kind of work, you know.
Yeah, so for me, but I have that same talent that you're talking about. And, oh, I wouldn't run from you in a minute. But I'm just saying that. I have in mind, you know, and I told you about this in a previous conversation, I have in mind to, I'm finding that there's a tremendous need for the mature masculine in, at least in the United States. I don't know about other places, but there's, for example, there's two lead ISTA faculty here in the United States, and one is me and the other one is Crystal Dawn Mars. And there aren't many men who have stepped up to the plate, and a couple, one that was here, is no longer here, so the person who founded this is no longer here. So I have this idea to start an academy for men to actually be educated by me as DACAs or whatever, teachers. I'm not sure exactly what, but I have a couple of apprentices that are wanting that from me. And And it's kind of complementary to what you're doing.
It's strongly around Maya Rising too, because for sure Maya, Shima, and they're not the only ones. This has been raised a few times around the school, and when I've asked, and occasionally, you know, generally they tell me, but sometimes I actually ask and say, you know, what do you want? Like, you can see what I'm doing. You know, what would you like, more, better, different, or what? And the thing that does come up repeatedly is more men. And I've had a tendency to throw that a little bit back with going, look, you know, you're working with them currently, you know, get them there kind of thing.
Yeah, train
them. But there's also space, and there is an area where direct male-to-male guidance is very valid as well, just as with the women world. Women-to-women guidance is paramount. You know, men are a useful bit, you know. They're an important bit, but they're not the guidance. Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if you worked with
them. And so more men is on the thing. We've got, I'd say, there's five guys doing from a variety of touch work, and one or two of them are really brave, and they try more the kind of way that I work, and they suffer, but they suffer bravely, and they get through their feelings. Because... you know, as I say, certain things make this easy for me, but not for them.
Well, yeah.
But more guys and guiding them, really, I'd love you to come here and do an intensive for a whole bunch of, you know, some of the guys here that are on the border, and bring as many Americans as want to escape and come and feel a little free for a moment. I mean, living under laws that restrict you. I lived through apartheid. I know exactly how that feels.
I used
to cross the border into Swaziland, which is a little country three quarters surrounded by South Africa. But doesn't matter. As you went through that border, you could feel it. Wow. You know it. You've been to India. It's not that their laws are freer, but their culture's freer, you know, in some ways. And
in
you feel
some
it.
Ways, yeah. Yeah. Well, I like that idea. So everyone out there listening, if you're wanting to study what we're talking about and you happen to be male, because I think men sometimes feel that a lot of this stuff is against them, you know, like so many of movements are against the male. And so I want to just put out an open invitation. You just heard Rahasia. He said, I could come to South Africa and do a course with him, and we would offer it for men, and I could bring men from North America, let's say, not just United States, but North America, because many men I know and love are in Canada as well and in Central America. Yeah. So I will talk about it. We're starting something like an academy, and I'm creating it through declaration right now.
All right, and we're going to plan it somewhere free. We've got a couple
exactly,
of ideas.
Exactly. So, Rahasia, tell us the name of the school and tell us how people can get in touch with you directly if they want to get in touch with you or find out more information. Give us the website and anything else we need to know to be able to contact you.
Okay. My website, the school's website, is advaittantra.com. So Advait is ADVAIT and then tantra.com. You'll find what we're doing there. I wrote a book. It's called The Rocky Horror Tantra Book.
Oh, I love it.
And I mean that title. I mean it. Everyone said, what a horrible title. Blah, blah, blah. You're not going to make sales. I love that title. Staying. That's it. It would have been called Adam's Family Tantra, but Adam's Family Stuff, they sue everybody for using that name.
Oh.
I hope they take it as an honoring. Anyway, it's respect. That title's respect.
Okay.
And from the website, from advaittantra.com, there's links to, there's a school Facebook group where I was absent for a good while, but I pop in occasionally now, and people shout and argue about the finer points of Tantra and the coarser points of Tantra. It's a lot of fun. So, I think just start with advaittantra.com and you'll find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you for being my guest today, all the way from South Africa. And I'm looking forward to creating some future with you. And I declared
it.
So it shall be.
Oh, yes.
So, everybody, thanks for tuning in today to Sex and Happiness. It's my pleasure to bring these shows to you. And please tune in next week when I will have another amazing guest who will have something to contribute to your sex and your happiness. This is Laurie Handlers signing off.
for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.